Thank you, Ruth. Well, I'd first like to start out by thanking my advisor for my PhD work that I'm presenting here, Stephen Schoenholtz with the Virginia Water Resources Center, and also Beth Adams, who's in the audience, who is at the Fresnel where I did this research. So this research is around the context of nitrogen saturation, fitting with the theme of this meeting here, which is largely a function of increased anthropogenic inputs. So we currently have little understanding of how to predict problem areas relative to nitrogen deposition, as some areas are much more sensitive to nitrogen deposition than others. And we also have little understanding in how to go about managing these systems once nitrogen saturation has been reached. So nitrogen saturation is nitrogen in excess of demand of the biological system. So this is increased deposition, which increases nitrogen mineralization and nitrification, where organic matter is mineralized into inorganic and more mobile forms of N. Once this occurs, nitrate is then exported from the system, and systems become leaky. So with the leaching of nitrate from the soils, soils become more acidic, increases in stream nitrate occur, and base cations are leached from the soils, causing problems with soil fertility and in downstream aquatic ecosystems. So watersheds within the Fresnel experimental forest in West Virginia have exhibited symptoms of nitrogen saturation. This area in West Virginia currently receives about 14 kilograms of nitrogen wet deposition per hectare per year, which is the highest in the country. So the precipitation pH in this area is also about 4.2. So two watersheds that I've been working in within the Fresnel experimental forest are shown here in West Virginia in the watershed map within the Fresnel, are labeled here as number 6 and number 7. These two watersheds are nearly adjacent and have nearly identical management histories, varying today only by vegetation cover. So both watersheds were concluded clear-cut in 1967, kept barren with herbicide for 4 years, and watershed 7 was then allowed to naturally regenerate to a native hardwood stand. And here's Stephen working hard on a recent field trip up to the Fresnel. So watershed 6 was also clear-cut in 1967, kept barren with herbicides, but was then planted to a monoculture of Norway spruce as part of a water yield experiment that they had in the past. So today is a closed canopy stand of Norway spruce, very dense, and changes within this spruce system include a conversion to a moor-type forest floor, thick moss mats that have accumulated in and around the stream, and soil changes that are known to occur beneath spruce systems are a decrease in pH and a decrease in nutrient cycling. So from the long-term data collected since 1971 from these two watersheds, one of the most striking differences has been in the export of nitrate from these two systems as measured at the weirs from each of these forests. So the y-axis here shows export as nitrate of kilograms nitrogen per hectare, and the hardwood system has been exporting around 15 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per year, while the spruce system exports nearly zero for about 20 years. So from this long-term data, the overarching question of this research is which soil characteristics then control the differences in these nitrate production and export from the watersheds. From the existing literature, there has been proposed several mechanisms to help explain why spruce soils are so retentive of nitrogen, and these mechanisms are seemingly contradictory to each other. One that I've listed here has been proposed is the alleliochemical inhibition of nitrifying microbes by VOCs produced by spruce vegetation. Although in another study, it had been shown that there is high gross rates of nitrification, as shown in N15 studies, with subsequent abiotic incorporation of the nitrate into organic materials. Also, there have been several studies from European spruce forests that show high amounts of nitrate production from these forest soils. So my question is it really vegetation driven? So the initial research question for this study is the lack of nitrate production in spruce soil associated with biotic or abiotic mechanisms. In order to address this research question, the approach for this design was to utilize soils from each of these watersheds and mix them in an incubation study in such a way as to create a gradient of soil chemical and biotic parameters. So this illustration shows the experimental design of the incubation study. So this was replicated several times and there were 5 soil mixes created. So the white box indicates 100% hardwood, and these were mixed with spruce soils in different ratios as to create a 75%, 50%, 25%, and 0% hardwood soils. So it was hypothesized that these mixes would create an edaphic gradient of differences in pH, mobile aluminum, organic matter quality, and in differing microbial populations, among other things measured. So throughout the rest of this talk, I will label these soil mixtures as 1 through 5, with 1 being 100% hardwood and 5 being 100% spruce. From these incubation soils, the dependent variable in this correlation analysis was nitrate production, final minus initial KCl extractable nitrate. So several possible outcomes were identified at the onset of this study, and associated interpretations of why these outcomes would occur. So the first possible outcome would be abiotic inhibition, where we would see net nitrate production, shown here on the y-axis, of observed and predicted values of nitrate production from each of the soil mixes. Abiotic inhibition would then depress the observed nitrate production relative to the predicted values. And this would be interpreted as to be due to the allelochemical effects, or ammonia adsorption to surface soil mineral. The second possible outcome is what I've been calling biotic synergism, where we would see elevated observed nitrate production relative to the predicted values. And this would be interpreted as to be due to introduced microbial populations that are now able to utilize the newly available substrate from the spruce soil additions to the hardwood. The third possible outcome would be no interaction, where the observed and the predicted values of nitrate production were equal. And this would be interpreted as due to the unsuitability of spruce soil substrate to the introduced microbes. So those were the possible outcomes. Here's what I actually saw. So what I saw was that there are no significant differences between the observed and the predicted values of the nitrate production. And I interpret that to be due to the unsuitability of spruce soil substrate to soil microbes. However, I was able to detect high levels of ammonia production in these spruce soils, such that the total N mineralization was high in the spruce soils, but the next step of the nitrification did not occur. So I measured a suite of chemical explanatory variables that were then correlated to the nitrate production, and these are listed here. The realm of cations, pH and exchangeable acidity, carbon and nitrogen, extractable phosphorus, and carbon and nitrogen fractionation, which is an index of the recalcitrant and labile carbon. And also the nutrient stoichiometries were calculated with different nutrient ratios and the sum of the base and acid cations. So from this list, the only ones that were significantly correlated to nitrate production were calcium, iron, and potassium, carbon to nitrogen ratio, the percent hydrophobic carbon, which is the amount of recalcitrant carbon in the extractable DOC, and then the sum of the base cations. I also measured a suite of biotic explanatory variables listed here. The most probable number of nitrifying microbes, microbial biomass carbon and nitrogen, and then microbial biomass carbon and nitrogen ratios. The only one that was significantly correlated from that was the microbial biomass carbon. And when I put all of those significantly correlated variables into a stepwise regression model, I have four terms that remain in the model that can explain 90% of the nitrate production in these soil mixes. So those were the soil carbon and nitrogen ratio, the amount of recalcitrant carbon, extractable potassium, and the sum of the base cations. So if we back out to the initial research question of which soil characteristics control the differences in nitrate production from these watersheds, I can conclude that the carbon and nitrogen ratio, the recalcitrant carbon, potassium, and the sum of the bases are the key soil properties that control nitrate retention. And I'd also like to say that vegetation type, through its effects on soils, can be managed to minimize the nitrogen export from these systems. So in future work, I'd like to use these variables to test this model in different vegetation types and see if the carbon and nitrogen ratio and the recalcitrant carbon and the extractable carbon are really indicators of nitrate retention in different systems. And my acknowledgments. I have been measuring DON at the weirs. When I look at the spruce export of DON and ammonia and nitrate, there is none. There is no nitrogen coming out. When I look at the hardwood, DON is nearly the same as nitrate, so that there's about 30 kilograms export per year, which is really high. Yeah.
Did you classify those soils?
They're classified as in soil series. Yeah, they're the Calvin soil series, which are inceptisols. Yeah, distrudeps.
Two of those predictor variables are not independent.
Right, the potassium and the bases.
Yeah, and even the CN ratio. So what are the chances in your survey of the literature and the work you've done, could there be some larger picture to this, something larger about spruce soils that cause them to be more nitrogen retentive?
Well, I guess that's the inherent question of the research is, what can we pick something out of why these soils are so retentive? This was kind of a general broad assay of the whole soil to see if we could pick those variables out. So I guess that's the inherent nature of the spruce soils. Maybe the recalcitrant carbon is probably the most predictive of what I would use.
Staying on this question, this issue you can test by changing the hardwood soils in retentive soil by changing its characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be one way to test whether they're truly associated, they're truly driving variables, or whether they're actually an expression
exactly
of something totally different.
Right. So this study was set up to pick out those variables, and then we're testing, manipulating further to see if that is truly a driver, to say that it's causative and not correlative. Thank you.
Thanks to all the speakers for a good session.